We live in an incredible age. It's an amazing moment in time. I every day I thank God that I'm alive right now. I don't think there's any time in human history that's as exciting as what's going on right now. Not the Golden Age of Athens, not Elizabethan England. It's just unbelievable. We are in an age of breakthrough, tremendous quantum leaps forward, the development of new technologies, new computers, bionic parts for the human body. It's just absolutely unbelievable to me what the human being is accomplishing. I want human beings to be able to accomplish the same kind of dramatic leaps forward in their own personal lives. So what this tape package is about is to explain to you the computer age. What is the computer age? Is, in fact, there really a computer age? Are we living in one? Will it have an effect on you? Do you need to learn how to use a computer? We'll talk about those issues in these tapes. Second thing is, I think we all need to learn championship living. How do we cope with the challenges of a computer age? What is it like to work on a championship organization, to be on a championship team, to live a championship life where we go for the very best all the time? We're going to have to deal with uncertainty. There are going to be changes in our lives. Organizations are changing. Read the newspaper, look at television, listen to the news on the radio. It's happening all the time. And somehow we have to cope with that. Every championship team has reverses. They're behind at the half. They're behind at the third quarter. It really doesn't matter. That's the booby prize. What matters is the score at the end of the game. And so I'm going to talk with you about techniques for championship living. And finally, perhaps most important, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about breakthrough. Breakthrough is a quantum leap forward. It's a discontinuity in time and space. When you have a breakthrough suddenly, all bets are off. All opportunities are available to you. Some people think breakthrough is just a fluke. Well, yeah, he had a breakthrough, but, you know, he's lucky. I mean, they were the Wright brothers. I mean, you know, he was Roger Bannister. I mean, you know, he was lucky. Or he was smart, or he was a genius, or he was just in the right place. I don't believe that. I call a breakthrough the arranged miracle. I think it's a miracle, but I think you can learn to do it. Now, before you listen to these tapes, let me tell you, I believe in the gospel of the single idea. I think there's tremendous power in a single idea. Now, you can listen to all the tapes and take notes and do all of this and talk to all of your friends and so forth, but you really should be looking for the one point. There'll be one point for you. It may be halfway through side 7 or the opening of side 10, but there will be some point, and you'll hear that, and there'll be a sort of a ping, a little funny sound will go off inside your brain. I know you don't believe that right now, but trust me on this. Have you ever walked around through a store where they sell really wonderful crystal, Swedish crystal? And the salesperson will say, "Oh, look, this is such wonderful crystal." And they go, bing, and they hit the edge of it with a fingernail. You listen. On side 4, side 7, somewhere, you're going to hear that sound, and you ought to stop the tape right then. And you ought to check around to be sure nobody's throwing rocks at the window. But if they're not, back it up and listen to that point again, because that's the point for you. If you will take from this tape set one idea which you understand, which you enjoy, and which you will put into action in your life, this set will be invaluable to you, and my ambition will be fulfilled. So look for that single idea. Now, let me tell you about the tapes themselves. First of all, who am I? What do I do? You never heard of me. I'm a speaker. I'm a professional speaker and a consultant. And I travel all over the world advising the leaders, the senior management of major corporations in America, Canada, all over Europe, about the impact of new technologies on their personal lives, on how they're going to manage the organization, on organizational change, on marketing strategy, and so forth. I also meet with parent groups often and talk to them about learning to keep up with their kids. I mean, if you have a 6-year-old kid and you buy him a computer, you're in deep trouble. I mean, you know, you'll just never understand the child again forever. And so everyone is trying to keep up. They're trying to catch up first and then keep up. And so I've had the experience in the last, I'd say, 3 years of addressing probably 600 or 700 groups of executives, senior managers, internal meetings of large corporations, data processing directors, etc. And every time I go a day early if I possibly can, and I interview people. Who are you? How are you? What's the problem? What do you do? And I always, during presentations, say, do you have any questions? And trust me, they have questions, and they're the same questions you have. They raise their hands, and they say, should I buy a computer? And which one should I buy? And am I ahead or behind? Or how do I, et cetera. All the stuff that goes on in your mind and goes on in my mind. And so I have learned from that experience. I have not just been presenting to them, but I have learned from their questions and from their uncertainty and from their fears what our shared concerns are. We all have the same problems. You may say, oh, no, big companies have got it figured out. I mean, they know. Take my word for it. They do not know. They are just as uncertain as you are. And I hope they get this tape and listen to it. We're all struggling, and it's because we've gone through a breakthrough. We've gone through a breakthrough called the computer age. And I'll tell you more about it on another side, but when you go through a breakthrough, suddenly nothing that you used to do seems to work anymore. It's a different world. And so we're all facing this uncertainty. Now, there's a little stylistic technique we're using in these tapes. On most sides of the tape, we'll have one or two what we call windows. It's a little sound bite. It's me presenting the idea that's relevant at that moment in a conference. And some of these have been conferences of presidents of large corporations. Some are internal corporate planning meetings. Some are huge associations of data processing directors. There's even an educators conference on the tape. We're including this for two reasons. One is you need to know that everybody shares your concern. You are not in this alone. So when you hear a large group of people laughing in self-recognition, I mean, they say, oh, my, isn't that the truth? Oh, yeah, I'm so stupid. It helps for you to hear that other people are doing that. Second, from some of the questions that are expressed by people on the tape, you'll find out that they have exactly the same questions, the same uncertainty, the same considerations that you do. And so there will be, on most sides, at least one window into an executive conference somewhere in the world. Now, what is the computer age? Is there, in fact, a computer age? Do you think anything's changing? Hello, listen to the tape here. Do you think anything's changing? I mean, forget the newspapers. Forget the TV ads. Forget the magazine pictures of how stupid you are and how badly you need a computer. What about it? Do you think anything is changing? Many people talk about the third wave, that originally we were agrarian, we lived on farms, and then we became industrial, and we moved to cities, and we centralized and specialized, and now we live in an information age. I'm sure you've heard that word, the information age. Well, do we live in an information age? Are you empowered by your ability to handle information? Let me ask it another way. Do you get too much mail? You get too many memos? Are you being swamped with an influx of information, about half of which you don't want? Well, I think we are. I think we do live in an information age, and it's being fueled by the computer. The computer is what's making it possible for all that information to be generated. If we went back to cuneiform so that every business person had to stamp out his memos or her memos in wet clay and then have them delivered by ox cart, we wouldn't be so swamped. Maybe if we moved from photocopy machines to cuneiform, everything would calm down. But we are now in an age of transformation. We're leaving the planet. We're recovering satellites. We're doing amazing things which are fueled by the computer. Now, I say that what's going on in the computer age is what I call the four C's. The four C's. And the letter C is the first letter of each of these words. First is computers. Computers are exploding. I don't know if you really pay attention to this, but the first microcomputer appeared 10 years ago. And within a year, there were about 5,000. And then there were about 500,000. And now there are some many millions. And the general prediction is within about 4 or 5 years, there will be 70 to 80 million personal computers flooding out over the landscape. I mean, somebody should turn the shower off. I mean, what's happening here is we're being inundated. Now, does that mean you need to leap in and do it? No, not really. In fact, I sometimes say, aren't micros going to get smaller? And the audience all says, yes. And I say, aren't they going to get more powerful at the same time? Yes. Aren't they going to get cheaper at the same time? Yes. Then shouldn't you wait? And a lot of people say, well, that's a good idea. I mean, what do you get by waiting? And what do you get by leaping in? What did I gain by becoming computer literate and developing my own company based on the use of the computer 6 years ago? And what would I have gained if I were still waiting for the price to come down? See, if you're in a computer age, you're going to want to be leveraged by that technology. And if you're not in a computer age, forget it. The second C is called communications. We now have telephones. We have satellites, so that there's really no difference in making a telephone call to New York or making one next door. It may all be made by satellite anyway. We have cellular phones, portable phones that you can slip in your shirt pocket or your purse. We now have air phones, so you can make telephone calls from the airplane while commuting across country. We have networks that link them all together. And so clearly, communications is allied with computers. The third C is what I call convergence. The technologies, remember the good old days? Remember when a newspaper was a newspaper, and a TV was a TV, and a phone was a phone? Boy, wasn't that great? You come home and you just say, something's ringing. That is almost always the phone. I mean, nobody ran over and said, let me pick up the paper here, because probably the paper's ringing. But now, all of these technologies are being digitized. They're blending together. So now you can hook up a personal computer to a phone, to a TV set, and access a newspaper, and what is called download, that is, bring into your system in your home, news and information from thousands of data sources elsewhere in the world. This is weird. This is getting very weird, folks. And convergence is what's making it possible. And the last C, of course, is change. The real key is not computers. This tape series is not about computers, and we're going to talk about computers throughout it. It's really about people. It's about you coping with change. What do you do when the technology changes again? And when communications increases again? And when convergence multiplies again? What do you do? How do you cope with change? Now, let me handle a key question, and we'll give you our first window into the world of conferences. Key question. Do you have to have a computer? Say it again in case you missed it. Do you have to have a computer? And I'll give you the answer. The answer is no. Now let me tell you about why it is you may not need a computer as we go into a conference room and listen to a meeting with about 250 presidents of large corporations in the United States.
There are a lot of people, including many in this room, who do not need computers. My mom and dad are a perfect example. They live in Independence, Missouri, in a house my dad built 40 years ago. My dad is a cabinet maker. He builds walnut cabinets, which he hand rubs with 60 coats of beeswax. You ever seen that beeswax finish? You know, just... Okay? He does not need a personal computer with VisiCalc, you know, to catalog his nails and how much walnut has he got, 80 pieces of walnut. There are a lot of people who are doing that. They're buying micros, and then they're putting their recipes on the micro. Don't need that. Don't need that. My mom definitely does not need it. She's very religious. She gets up at 4 a.m. every morning, reads the Bible, and often calls me right away. This is true. I love my mother. God bless my mother. But she'll run across a passage in the Bible that she thinks maybe I haven't heard lately. And she thinks, now Richard's probably doing a speech today. This will be good for him. So she calls me at 5 minutes after 4 in Independence. But I live in L.A., and I tell her, Mom, the earth is like a big orange. You know, it's got time zones. And my mom has never been on a plane. She doesn't know or care. Just, you know, hush up. Now listen to this. And then she'll read it to me. And then I'll say, Mom, I have a new computer. And she'll say, when are you coming to see us? Okay? Now, my point in all of that is they will not be empowered by microcomputers. A 30-megabyte hard disk won't help. They don't need it. It's not aligned with what they do. In fact, if they began to do that, they would stop doing what they do so well, which is make walnut cabinets, and my mom paints and plays hymns on the piano and goes to bed about noon. Okay?
That's my mom and dad, and it's no exaggeration. Now, do they need a computer? Obviously, no. Question is, do you have the luxury to be my parents? Can you afford to paint and play hymns and go to bed at noon? And if you can, forget it. However, if you work in a corporation, or if you as an individual need to deal with information, you have mail, you have memos, you have financial reports, etc., and you want to try to stay abreast of the current rate of change, you're probably going to have to accept the challenge and learn about breakthrough. On the other side of this tape, we're going to talk to you about the nature of change and what breakthrough is all about.